What's going on, everybody? You've got the cardboard coach here with your boy, Coach Co. And team, today we've got a very special guest on the podcast here today. We've got Justin Wickheiser. Did I get it right?
You got it.
Ah, I love it. So he is the head of sales at Alt. For those of you who, I think a lot of you already know what Alt is, but in case they don't, we're going to do a little refresher. And you guys got some fun stuff coming up, as well as, just getting to know you and who's helping head this operation. So welcome, and thank you so much for joining today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. So absolutely. Looking forward to talking to your audience and diving in and talking a little bit about the hobby. We got the Natty next week coming up.
We do.
And then Alt and how we're seeing the future and how we're trying to create the go-to marketplace, the homepage for the hobby.
I love that. I almost absolutely butchered your name. So I'm glad that there's no hard feelings.
listen, hit a little rim, but it still went in. Okay, you're solid.
I love that. So for those of you who don't know, Alt is a platform that a lot of people use for looking up comps. It's funny. I was discussing this with someone on one of my previous podcasts. I'm from Canada. Traditionally in Canada, comps are looked up through 130 point and they're looked up through eBay completed listings. In the States, it's completely different. So if those of you who are tuning in the States, you already know this. For those of you who are tuning in from Canada, you don't even know that there is a completely different side of comps. Upon using your value features, I think one of the most useful parts is actually, even if there aren't comps for certain cards, you guys kind of approximate what that card's value is. And I think that is super useful for some of the lower serial number stuff, some of the stuff that hasn't been sold in a while. Talk to me a little bit about how that those algorithms, maybe not like how they work, but if someone was trying to figure out, well, like, how do they have a comp for this if there isn't, or an approximate value, how does that work? How does something like that come about?
Yeah, great question. So Alt's history goes back 3 years. And originally their vision was they wanted to bring transparency to the hobby. For those of us that are in the hobby, we know that part of the fun and the excitement is doing deals, whether it's a cash deal or a trade deal. But that's also one of the most difficult pieces of the game, is to figure out really what something's worth.
Yeah.
So we entered the world of data, and Alt, as a venture-backed startup, brought a lot of really smart data engineers to their platform. They said, if we can unlock and make it easily and accessible and demystify the value of whether it be commonly traded cards, unique cards, any cards in the space, graded trading cards, that is, we believe that we'll be able to create more transparency. We'll be able to actually bring more people into the market. They'll feel safe. They'll feel secure. And more transactions will take place throughout the market. And I think they've done a really good job. They're not done yet. We're not done yet. But they've done a really, really good job at that. So our instant pricer tool is what it's called. Lives on an app. You scan it with that OCR recognition, as many other apps have, over the top of it. And then you get a look at, it pulls the data based upon the cert number and the grading company, card, title, etc., shows how many copies are graded in PSA, how many copies are graded in BGS. We just rolled out CGC as well now. So that'll be a big unlock for the TCG community. So you have transparency on the total population report. And then down below that, you actually see the number of times it's traded, or as we call it, sold also, on different marketplaces. And we cover multiple marketplaces. So we're trying to create a landscape of total transparency when it comes to what something's traded for. Now, what it's traded for doesn't always mean what it's worth.
That's correct.
I want to clarify that, right? Yeah. What it's traded for doesn't always mean what it's worth. And so in our hobby, we love to be able to buy low, sell high. It has a lot of parallels, obviously, to the stock market. But what it can do for people is it can empower them quickly to make data-driven pricing decisions on where they want to buy and sell different things. So I see it all over the hobby. It's used widely. And I think a lot of people found it, especially dealers, flippers, maybe people who work full time in the hobby, as a really valuable tool to help them get price evaluations very quickly, especially with all the products and all the different set types that we have.
Yeah, it's pretty, once you dive into the app, there are just so many features that I think everyday people can find useful. I think people who buy, maybe just like looking to make a few percentage points or like just arbitrage in certain different areas. Like I know, again, like coming back to my background, buying hockey in the States and then bringing it back to Canada is usually a pretty good play. And one of the things that's really cool about Alt is on the app, it actually says like who's trending down. And I think like that's pretty cool because I can be like, oh, like is it justified that Justin Herbert's down 15% going into the NFL season? Do you know what I mean? Like, how is that gonna change any like, and then you'll see maybe a few like a week later or 2 weeks later, like now it's up 3 percentage points because like everyone's now aware that it's down 20%. So it's very interesting. Seeing the market using this information and kind of reacting. Now, I don't know if it's as a direct result of this information, but at least from my experience and some of the collectors I've spoken to and the people who regularly transact in the space, just the frequency that the Alt app is open, like I have to believe that these people are using these features in order to make constructive decisions.
Yeah, I believe we have somewhere between 80 and 90% overall market coverage, meaning that collectors at price, dealers at price cards, between 80 and 90% of them utilize. Now, it's hard because you don't know what the overall total TAM of the market is, the number
Course.
of users, but we've just got your eyeballs don't lie when you see it. I was just at the Las Vegas card show, and there are these two younger guys out there, and they priced cards for 7 straight hours with the Alt app. And I was blown away. I went up and talked to them, and they were smart, savvy entrepreneurs, but they just sat there, grinded away, were buying, and then they were going to sell, creating their margin that they were going to sell through on. And that's how they used the tool, and they found it to be really a productive tool for them to be able to automate and scale what they were doing to an extent. So we'll see what's next for our pricing tool. We've got some ideas on how we can actually help collectors and hobbyists in the space utilize that to generate higher sales for their assets and also sell them quicker. So stay tuned on that. There's your tease.
There
There's
you go.
the tease for the podcast there,
There
but
you
that's
go.
coming soon. We're very excited about that. So we're finally at a place 3 years in where we're going to take that data and we're going to utilize it and make it smart for people in the space to use.
I love that. So talk to me, this isn't your first rodeo in a company or with a company in space and just in the space in general. Like it's not like you jumped in during the pandemic, like a lot of people. How do you feel, seeing all this innovation happen while you're a part of this company, through this company? How do you feel as someone who's been in this space for a while? And like, do you want to just talk a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is still the greatest time in the hobby, in my 20 plus years in the space. This is the greatest time. We have more people in this space than I've ever seen before, and that even goes for the 90s era. We've got people that are excited, they're interested, they're collecting, they're buying, they're selling. There's a real interest and buzz in the space. So I'm very, very excited. I know we've had our ups and downs. We had a bubble to an extent during the COVID era, but I think the market, and we have data to show that the market is really, really healthy right now. So we've got a really thriving, healthy market. My previous career, I worked in another professional capacity in legal. And then I worked at PWCC, which was a wonderful opportunity and a blessing to work there. So really enjoyed that. So I've been on the marketplace side for several years now. And the marketplace side of the space still is where people ultimately go for liquidity. One of the huge differences between my time at PWCC, which is now Fanatics Collect, so they made that rebrand, I think, early last week. One of the major differences, though, is Alt's a data-driven company. And so it's just a blast working here because we have some of the smartest engineers and data-driven people that can give you real actionable intelligence on how you can coach, consult, and guide buy-sell decisions on the platform. So that's one of the biggest takeaways. PWCC was a great place to work, fantastic people as well, just like real hobbyists, people that loved our industry and market. And obviously, what they did for the space can't ever be questioned. They really brought a level of excitement and high level professionalism to the space, and the way that they tied the top 100 sports cards to the S&P 500,
Yeah.
their marketing, their comms. I just said they did a great job too. So honored to work at both places. Really excited about the future at Alt. And I think the hobby should be as well, because you're seeing some alignment and further consolidation in the market.
Yeah.
And it's really good to have multiple players in the space. It's good for the consumer. And so each one of us, I believe, is doing something different and unique in the space. And so if you love sports cards or you're interested in getting into sports cards, there's never been a greater time. It's kind of the golden era, in my personal opinion.
I like that take. It's funny. I mean, if you're on hobby social media, it really depends on like who you follow and what you follow. And I mean, there's always a reason why people are upset. And I just think that if we really sit back and think about like kind of where we're at and the amount of people that are in the space and that are happy in the space, like genuinely happy. Like I honestly, when I have some of these conversations with people, I'm like, have you been to a show recently? Because that for me, it really just kind of shows just how wonderful the space and how healthy the space is, honestly. D dealers are happy. People who come in to strictly sell are happy. And these are like everyday people. I'm not even talking about like just people who come in and they want liquidity in the space. Th there's really something for everyone. I think that as a hobby, we've done a really good job of really showcasing our niches as well. Like everyone's encouraged to kind of collect what they like. And it's a far cry from where we were, 2020, 2021, where everyone was just buying PSA 10 Prism basketballs and that's it, like, so I think that there's a lot of diversity in the space. It is probably the most wonderful time it's ever been. And so it's refreshing to get a take like that.
Yeah, listen, I was in this from 2008 to 2010. You want to talk about a time that was really, really difficult during the major economic crisis, especially if you owned a local card store and you didn't have allocation. I mean, the context is really everything in life, not just in this game, but in life in general. So you have a massive amount of supply available. You have people buying and selling, trading. You have multiple platforms. You have ways you can value cards. I mean, back in the day, the way that we would want to value cards, or we would value cards, we'd take Beckett and we'd look for the green arrow or the red arrow, and we'd try to buy on the red arrow and hope next month the green arrow went up. So we've just come such a long way. And then we have the international aspect of it. You said you're Canadian, and the Canadian market is a great market, obviously thrives with hockey. And the cool thing about Upper Deck, you're rocking the Upper Deck hat, is they have all the iconic brands that we all love. I'm primarily a basketball collector, although I'm
Nice.
collecting a lot of hockey right now, I will be honest with you.
Really?
I went to Game 7 of Stanley Cup Finals with some customers, and after that, I mean, I kind of like McDavid anyways.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a Canadian hockey purist now, so
Love it.
really collecting a lot of hockey cards as well. But they have the iconic brands that we love. They have UD Black, they have Exquisite, they have all those really great brands. And as a basketball collector, we grew up on and love. So I do think it's the golden age of the hobby right now, and you're going to see. You can take me. You can record this take, and you can count on it happening. You're going to see the middle market of this hobby, and when I say middle market, I define that as people that buy cards, buy total GMV cards between $2,500 and 10,000 every month. I think that's going to absolutely explode over the next 12 to 24 months. I think it's going to
Really?
absolutely explode. Yeah, I
I'm
think you got a
curious where
couple
that take
different.
comes from.
Yeah, a couple different things. Number one, I think that you're seeing right now that as the political climate changes in the US, people become more optimistic. And so you've got more discretionary dollars in the market. You're also seeing that we're refining a lot of the old archaic processes that we had. Some of these flea market type shows, you're going to have Fanatics come in and elevate the level of the shows that take place. You're seeing also with some partnerships reaching some new audiences. So people have a natural interest in collecting things. It's like human nature. It's like hunter and gatherer mentality back from the Stone Age. So we want to collect things. And then what do we love? We love sports and we love money. So if you can tie the two together and allow people to collect something they love, and then they can actually tie it or attribute a value to it, There's not a greater hobby in the world. This is the only space I know where you could buy a pack of cards, 86 FLIR basketball. You could pull a Jordan, you could send it in and get it graded, and now you have a $200,000 asset, maybe with right around somewhere between a $5,000 to $7,000 investment. I don't know where else you can do that at.
Yeah, it is pretty wild.
It's pretty cool.
It's funny you mentioned that everyone collects stuff. Like, this is something that I've been at the it's been like the forefront for me for quite some time. And actually, I try to feature that as many times with my guests. Yesterday, my girlfriend and I went to the car dealership, and we're sitting down at the gentleman's desk. And I always like to kind of see what people's sales pitches are like, and to also get to know them as like a person. And I see that on his desk, in between his desk and the person next to him, there's some rubber duckies. And I was like, I gotta ask. Like, it's gotta mean something. Because like there were like several. And I was like, what's the story of the rubber duckies? Like, oh, like, you know, that guy over there collects them. And then I was like, man, everybody collects something. Everybody collects something.
Absolutely.
It's
And you look at a rubber ducky, right? And you think, okay, that's kind of cool that he collects it. Maybe it's something that it brings a memory to him of the places that he traveled. You know, people do this with magnets. They go somewhere, they grab a magnet, they put it in their fridge. Now it puts them in some sort of state when they see it. And that's why I think sport trading cards in general are so valuable, along with memorabilia, is that you can buy it, you can collect it. It puts you in a certain state, gives you an emotional response to some extent. But then there's also the fun aspect of it where you get engaged with the community through trading, and then through selling and seeing if you can maybe sell it for a little bit more than you bought it for. So, it's got utility. It's got real utility to it. It's really a physical asset. So, that's why I still believe in this space. I just really do.
Do you think that the fact that things are like highly transacted right now takes away from some of that feeling that we were just talking about with fridge magnets? And do you know what I mean? Like, and obviously not for everybody, but and hopefully every card ends up in like the right end consumer's hand, right? Like, and someone who holds that thing for a considerable amount of time. But yeah, I guess my question is like, because things are so highly transacted now, do we think that like those cards are ending up in the right people's hands?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I'll give you my take on it because I don't know ultimately where it
Course.
ends at, but I think about it like indexes. So let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you've got PSA 10, we'll just use a base prism, Ja Morant, okay? Or Ja Morant, okay? And so you take Ja Morant and those PSA 10 base prisms, and right now those are low. And so a bunch of people have those, they're going to sell them. Somebody's going to look at that and go, you know what? Ja Morant is, he's a stud. The guy can play, he's kind of been out of the press for a few years. I want to buy all those that I can. And so that's a heavily traded transacted card, whether it be the base or if it's a colored or maybe a high serial number, somebody's going to want it for some specific reason. And that's again another, feature of the space we all know as the hobbies now become an industry, really is what it is. And that is someone's going to want it for their purposes. Maybe it's to build a repack. Maybe it's that they want to buy and hold them because they see that there's a marginal return on each card if he does really well next season. So maybe they'll buy and hold 5,000 copies of it. I don't know what the population is, but I assume you could buy and hold 5,000 copies.
Well, probably.
And then somebody's going to say, you know what? If Ja plays really well and I'm excited about the Grizzlies and how they're playing, I want to buy and I want to own all of those that I can. I want to be the super collector. So there's a journey for each type of card and ultimately where it ends at, I don't know. That'll be fun to watch in this whole entire process. But what it also does is it creates a secondary category for the more interesting and rare. I won't say interesting, that's unfair. The more rare cards, hard to find. And so when those come to market, you see a lot of excitement around those. An example of that could be is the 2009 exquisite Michael Jordan that was sold on the alt auction last night. I can't believe what that sold for. I mean, it's a really rare card. They ran out of jersey inserts for that card, so they had to get really creative. It's the last year of exquisite. There's some great to stories told about that by Adam Gray. But that card blew up last night because people realized how rare, valuable, unique, and special it was. And so it just went for a massive number. And we've got somebody that bought it that's very, very happy with it. And then we've got somebody who sold it that very, very happy with it. And then those dollars come back into our space and people start hunting and searching for things again that fit their own interests. So that's one of the unique things about our industry is that the buyers and sellers generally stay engaged in the space. They just don't exit it for the most part. And so the hunt continues on.
Yeah, if I'm gonna answer my own question, I think that the fact that there are so many liquidity, like there's so many opportunities for liquidity, right? Like we talked about, what is something worth versus what you get for it. Like I think it's probably never been closer right now than like if something's worth that, you can get pretty close to it. Like I even at shows, like I see people buying at 85, 90% comps, depending on the cards. Like it's actually pretty w wild to watch happen. And as I said before, like if you really are doubting the space, like go to a show and really see what's happening at like the grassroots of it all. Because people are very happy when they're buying, they're very happy when they're selling for the most part. Like no one really feels cheated. And I think that because there's so many marketplaces, there's so many avenues, there's like you can trade that drama rat card. Like you can go on one of the marketplaces and you can literally make a trade with someone. You can. Social media has made it so easy for you to engage with other collectors, whereas before, if a player played really well and you didn't have the place to sell that card, regardless of if your local card shop was buying that card at 60% and that was your only form of liquidity in the space, that's what you got to sell it for. Versus like now, you can showcase that card online, you can list it across numerous platforms and get pretty close to, like I said before, like what that card is actually worth. And if not, you can probably get, in the case of like that 2009, maybe more than what you thought it was worth because the right people are seeing that card. So, I talked about the end consumer. Like the end consumer has never been closer with these avenues in place, I think.
Completely agree. Completely agree. That goes back to my original point of why I think the hobby is going to continue to expand, especially in the mid-market area. And then naturally, the journey, I've always believed this, the person that buys the $10 Jordan card eventually buys of the $50,000 Jordan autograph card. That's
Yeah.
kind of how the journey progresses and it moves forward. So
Yeah.
excited about the future there. Very, very excited. I think people should embrace what we've got going on here right now. I know I am.
I think that's the dream in this space, right? Is like the dream in this space is to like buy cards and then sell those cards for more money and then use those proceeds to buy better cards until eventually you can acquire enough through those transactions to get the cards you really want and that you just kind of hold forever, theoretically, right?
Agreed. Agreed. It's
Talk
been
to me.
done. It's been done over and over again. So we've seen it happen. It's not some fairy tale. I mean, people
Yeah.
do it, whether you're 19 years old or you're, 45, people do it all the time.
That's exactly it. Talk to me a little bit about some of the things that are coming for Alt. So not just a comps platform. You guys have been setting record sales for a few cards, and it's been happening for quite some time. You've had a lot of pretty big cards featured on the Alt auctions. You guys are offering some incentives. I mean, I want to hear all about it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, really proud of what we've done here. I think the secret to our success has been is that we're for the hobby. We truly have a for the hobby mindset. And so we not only have a marketplace, a fixed price marketplace, and we're bringing data and new innovations to the market for people to utilize, but the whole entire team is passionate about the space. We love the hobby. Most of us have been involved for 5+ years. And so we've got very much a VIP white glove service, especially with my team when we work with dealers and collectors. And people want to talk about their cards. I mean, that's the whole thing that's fun about the space. We want to talk about it. We want to debate it. We want to understand trends and analysis. And I think that's really resonated with the hobby overall. So I've been here for 1 year at Alt now, for 1 year and 2 months. It's been a fantastic ride. Still the greatest compliment I get from people is when they say, "Hey, Justin, you guys have been selling some really cool cards. Like you've got some really nice stuff on there." And that to me signals that we're doing something right because people are bringing their unique, their rare, and their valuable cards to sell on Alt when historically that wasn't the case. It just wasn't. Alt hadn't positioned itself as that, had they didn't have a vision for that, but we've been doing it. And The coup de grace, or I think one of the big moments for me is that on our auction starting on August 2nd, we're going to be selling a 2003-2004 LeBron Exquisite RPA, true out of 99.
Oh, man.
Beautiful, beautiful two color patch. It's a BGS 9.5 10 auto. It's just one of those cards that it's right up there with all the iconic cards that collectors want. And this card hasn't traded in a BGS 9.5 10 auto in over a year. And last time that it did, it traded for $1.6 million. So really, really excited. And it's a huge blessing because someone's trusting you with essentially a pretty nice house that they want to sell on your platform. They're going to trust that you're going to bring it to market, that you're going to work with the right end customers, that you're going to showcase it correctly. And they're selling it at auction, which again brings another level of risk. And there's not too many marketplaces out there that are selling $600,000 cards at market right now. So honored to be doing that. I think that if you love Exquisite, you like basketball, it's definitely an auction to look into because we're theming around that iconic draft class. So we've got a bunch of exquisite of key players taking place there. We've got some really cool one of one buyback Jordan autos. It's just going to be a really special auction. Very excited about it. Honored that someone trusted me enough to be able to give us that card to sell it for them. So, excited about that. And then I hope the experience with everyone that's working with Alt now is they feel like they have a voice, they're cared about, they're understood. We're not perfect, and nobody in this space is perfect. We're going to fall on our face and make mistakes, but we're going to try to rectify those. So our marketplace is thriving. Very excited about that. One of the reasons that I think we were able to really extend and grow, because it's tough to go from 0 to 50. It's really, really hard. It's much easier to go to 50, from 50 to 100. And I'm not talking about revenue or GMV. What I'm speaking of is just, speed to get your business up to speed. So one of the ways we empowered collectors to do that is we have a data system driven on cash advance, and we've got a model for it. And this is our key value proposition in the entire space. And so when I originally got here at Alt, I thought, man, I'm working with not much right now. We don't have much, but I didn't realize that we really had Excalibur. We really had the secret sauce, and that was in the Alt data. We just weren't using it in an effective way. So what we did is we modeled the data, and now we've got a system in place where if you see us at a show or in-app, you can bring your card to us. We will price it through our data modeling system. And for somebody that's been in the space for 20 years, myself, you have to know the values of cards, and you have to be very, very good in order to buy them at an edge to make a profit. So I review our data constantly along with our data engineering team, is some of the most intelligent people I've ever worked with. We've got a model that is so on point that if you just utilize the model only, you could buy at an edge, and you could create arbitrage and make a profit. It's that robust, it's that good, and it's mature now after 3 years. So people come to Alt often because they're looking for a cash advance, and we can offer them a cash advance almost up to 75% of the value of the car. And if they bring us a batch now of cards, meaning more than one asset type, say they bring me 10 cards, we actually are able to give a bonus on that because our model allows us to diversify risk. Sometimes we can get up to 80%. So the beauty of that is, why would I go resell it at a show or online and take 80% when I can sell for 80% and the cash advance is guaranteed? There's no clawback. We don't take that back no matter what because it's a partnership. We're betting on the performance of our platform. So why would I go and sell it at 80% when I could get 75%, 80% cash advance potentially, and then get all the upside at auction? Where some of those cards are going to go 120, 130% of value. Some may go 90% of value. I mean, that's the marketplace analysis that every collector, dealer, and seller needs to do. But that to me has been very, very exciting. So now we've got the utility to give people a cash advance on cards they want to sell. It's a guaranteed cash advance, and they achieve all the upside. And that cash advance is processed usually within 24 hours on the platform, and then you can outtake it. I don't care if you're in Shanghai, if you're in Montreal, if you're in Tel Aviv, it's international. So that's been really exciting for people, and a lot of smart, savvy dealers have really figured out how to utilize that well on our platform, and then they get all the upside of the card. So that's been very, very exciting. That's been a year in the works. And then as we're moving forward, we're really focusing more on building our product out for people to be able to manage their portfolio effectively, whether that be 10 cards or 10,000 cards. Put it in our portfolio. We're going to give you signals based upon the performance of the card or newsworthy events that take place with the card. So if I've got a Joe Burrow and Joe Burrow's in my portfolio, I'm going to get signals on an everyday basis based upon the buy sell, so the volume, print prices, we call them we call them record-breaking prices, and then we call them bombs. And so that's when a card has sold and it sells for less, and we're tracking that over a certain period of time in the marketplace. That's all going to be tied up into our data, and it's going to give you a signal. In addition to that, what we've got coming forward is we're going to be bringing in headlines so that you are newsworthy. You have newsworthy data on the different cards that you have within your portfolio. And so you can easily track that as a dealer, go in there and be notified when there may be a buy-seller event that needs to take place. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty wide, I won't scan my room here because it looks like maybe a 1990s card shop in here right now with all the boxes and the cards. But I mean, I've got a dual 10 McDavid rookie exquisite rookie signature sitting in my closet right now. I won't disclose my address, but I don't follow McDavid stuff all the time in the news. And so if I have a source that can send me information based upon the NHL draft just happened, right?
A few weeks back, yeah,
Few
like
weeks back, right?
3 weeks ago.
I went to grad school at BU, so the number one pick was for my alma mater. So excited about that. He's going to be a
Nice.
great player. But point is, wouldn't it be fantastic if you had a central source of truth that could say, Oilers picked up this player who's going to be impactful for McDavid. We see the value of this card going up because we think that they're going to have seven more wins next season and give you smart data. Now that you may not do anything with the card, but I'd rather have the upfront consolidated in one portfolio so I can think about how I'm going to buy, sell, or collect it, as opposed to hear about it 3 weeks later. Like, hey, did you hear about who picked up this guy on this team and he's going to make an impact? I'd be like,
Yeah.
no, I missed that. Sorry, that would have been a sell event. So we're going to
That's
use data and make smart data for people to make decisions on whatever you want to do with it. If you want to hold it, that's great. If you just want to be in the loop, if you want to go to the show and say, hey, did you see so and so picked it up? I've got the black prism of this player. We're going to empower collectors and give them that smart data so that they can have it consolidated into one single source of truth. Because for me, in my experience, it's too hard to track all of them.
very interesting stuff, man. Especially, I mean, that smart data sounds like it could be a game changer. I'm curious to see how the market reacts to it. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of use. So, very intrigued.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see ultimately when we review the data if it does spur buy sell decisions. I think people that are really active in this space, they keep top of the players and the inventory that they have. But everybody's looking for that slight edge and the predictability of it. Earlier, you brought up Justin Herbert and you said, so Herbert's down 15%. And I was curious where you're going with that. If people are like, oh, I got to get rid of him, because to me, that's a buy opportunity. I'm like, he's down 15%. I like who Justin Herbert has on his team. I like how they're drafting. And you know what notification I just got? I just got that Justin Herbert in camp threw for seven touchdowns. He looks the best he's ever looked. He's fully healthy. He's rested. All of his players say that he looks really mature and he's poised for a great season. Now, some of that's headlines.
Course.
Some of that could be real. But if I believe in Justin Herbert, that could give me a slight edge. So, very excited about that. And we'll see how the hobby responds to it.
Sounds like a lot of fun stuff. Talk to me really quickly about what's going on with the National and yeah, where people can find you.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I don't know the booth number, so they can find us
I
at our booth.
mean, I think you guys are in the corporate area though, at least, right?
We're in the corporate
There
area.
you
Yeah,
go.
I think we're right across from Beckett, and you can find us in the corporate area this year, as last year. You can come by our booth. We've got a really great process in place where we're going to utilize our tooling and our data to review people's cards for them, give them a cash advance. We bring real cash on site. So that's something I wanted to implement immediately because, as a former dealer in the space, I said people want cash. They want real liquidity because they want to go play in the market. That's the fun of going to a card show. And so we're bringing cash. We'll have over $1 million in cash there, and we'll be giving out cash advances. So if you have a collection, a card that you're looking to sell, come by and let us review it. our data is the best in class. It's best in class in the industry. We'll give you a valuation. You'll get to see our performance and go through our workflow. And if you're not even looking to sell, take a look at the auctions that are coming up or our fixed price marketplace. So very excited about a number of enhancements that we're rolling out there. Two other things I should probably mention at the National is we now have a feature called Universal Sold Listings. So we've got Universal Sold Listings that you can access, which is an aggregation of all of those listings from the marketplaces that we cover, all in the power of one button on our app. So no longer do you have to jump to multiple different platforms to try to get coverage to see what something's sold for, whether it be on eBay or PWCC or Heritage or Golden. It's all covered in the app there. So that's really helpful. And where that's helpful for people at is that when it's a rare item or asset, you often have to dig a lot deeper. We're trying to bring all that information to the top. So one of ones, low serial numbers out of five, cars that haven't sold over the last 3, 4, 5 years and that don't have a print price. So that's another great feature that we have, and that's available. And I think it'll be useful to collectors of the National.
Love that, man. Justin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk a little bit about yourself and all the fun stuff that's in store for Alt. Team, if you haven't already, please go check out the Alt platform. Check out Alt on their socials. There's always some cool stories about the cards that they're selling. And I mean, from this interview, you've gotten to know a little bit about them, and hopefully you understand why they've been growing at such a quick rate. Man, thanks again.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you. Listen, I tell my team I only work with Canadian customers because they're my favorite people. They're the nicest people in the hobby to work with. And so, listen, reach out to me if you have any questions. You can find me on Instagram at Grailed Grails. It's Grailed underscore Grails or Justin.Wickheiser at alt.xyz. Canadians only, though. Kidding. Okay. Not only
That's
Canadians, but I love working with Canadians, man. Honestly, it's a great time when I get to go up
it.
to the BOSA show and whatnot in Vancouver. So thanks for having me on. Really
Appreciate you.
appreciate the time. Take care.
Thank you, team. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Go check out Alt. Take care.